to open up and work in our lives and just do some really cool stuff. And so today we're going to wrap it up. We've been kind of digging through Elisha and looking at this account of his life in 2 Kings. And so if you have your Bibles or your phone app or whatever, go ahead and get there to 2 Kings. We're going to be in chapter 6 today. But if you have YouVersion Live, make sure you pull that up, because then you can just follow right along with the notes and the scripture and everything right there together. But if not, it's in your program. It's going to be on the screen, so you'll be able to just track along with us. And make sure that you look at your program. They're on the back there. There's places you can fill in to keep up with where we are. And just, if you're like me, I remember a couple of things that I hear. I remember a few things that I see, but when I see it and hear it and write it together, it's something about it just burns it into my brain. And so that's why we created those programs, so that you can fill in the blank and be able to write it down and hear it and all of that. So we want you to get the most out of this. So make sure that you're tracking along with us. So before we get started today, Lord, let me ask you a question. How many of you are like me in that you've been looking for something that was right there all along? Not just looking for something, but looking for something that you lost and can't find it. You know, you're looking for something all over the place, but then come to realize it's like right there at you. For me, you know, I'll be tearing the house apart looking for my keys, and they're on my finger, on this hand that I'm pulling stuff apart looking for them. They're hanging right there on my finger. I've been talking on the phone with somebody on speakerphone, walking around my house looking for what? My phone. That whole time, like, where's, you know, I got it right in my hand. Anybody tracking with me, identifying with that? You know, maybe, oh, good, I'm not the only idiot in the crowd. Y'all didn't get that, did you? I called you an idiot. So, sorry, I'm calling you one to where we're the idiots together, okay? So, it's okay. So, but, you know, one time I was getting ready to go for my walk, my exercise walk, and one of the things I like to do is listen to my music through my headphones. And I'm tearing the house apart, looking for my headphones, about to yell at my kids because I know they've done something with them. Guess where they were? Right in my ears. They were stuck right there. You know, I guess it was the whole peace and quiet thing that I wasn't used to. It should have set me off. But anyway, so we all, if you're like me, you've done that before. You've been looking for something that was lost, but it was right there in front of you the whole time. And you know, I've heard it said, things aren't lost, they're just misplaced. Forget that. They're lost. If I can't find them, they're lost, and it drives me nuts. And I'm always losing stuff. If you hang around with me long enough around here, you'll know that there are some Sunday mornings where I get busy doing stuff, and then people see me tearing the place apart. Like, what are you looking for? My sermon, you know. So sometimes it even happens here on Sunday morning. But we know that sometimes we look for things that are lost, but they're right there in front of us. And we just got to be willing to slow down a second and listen and look for some things. So today I want us to talk about what we want to find. And so today we're going to be digging into Elisha and finding out about something that was lost that can be found. Here's the thing. Many of you are followers of Christ, and you feel like you've lost something. And guess what? What you think you've lost is going to be right where you left it. It's going to be right there. It's going to be easy to find, but we're going to have to take some steps to be able to find it. And so I want to help us today, because I think all of us in here, especially if we've had any time spent as a Christ follower, we probably feel like we've lost something spiritually. We feel like there was a time where we were way more spiritual than we are now. For some of us in the room, listen, you come in and maybe you're thinking, but wait a minute, I'm not a follower of Christ. I'm really not even a Christian. I don't even know about this whole God thing. I'm not sure about all of this. But listen, let me just tell you, you haven't lost anything spiritually. You just haven't gotten anything spiritually. And so today we want to talk about how can you find that. Maybe you've never had it. Well, we're going to tell you how to be able to find it to begin with. But then also, if we felt like we've had it before and lost it, then we're going to be able to find it and get it back to where God wants it to be in our lives. We're looking at the prophet Elisha. And Elisha is a pretty cool dude. And so we've looked at some things in his life. We've looked at burning the cows or killing the cows and burning the plows. You know, we talked about that in week one. We talked then about digging some ditches. You know, how God can provide water, but we got to dig some ditches. Last week, we talked about how God can provide, but we might have to go gather some jars. There's some action that needs to take place on our part. And so today, we're going to talk about getting our edge back. Getting our edge back. Elisha did some amazing miracles. God used him to do some really cool stuff. He took a poisoned body of water and cleaned it up and saved a community. He was able to help a widow who was without anything and was about to lose her two sons. And he was able to help her, and we learned about that last week. Then we find out that in 2 Kings chapter 5, he's able to heal Naaman from leprosy by just him being dipped into a pool. I mean, there's all kinds of cool things that happen here in the life of Elisha. And he even blinded an army one time so that God's army could advance. And so there's just cool things that happen. Elisha, in this account, is going to do something that may not seem very significant at the time. It seems like kind of almost like a little party trick. You know, he takes a stick, throws it into a body of water, and an axe head pops up and begins to float. What's up with that? Well, it's not Elisha that did it. It was Elisha being used to do it. And God did some really cool stuff in his life. And that's the account we want to talk about today, because we're going to find out about how that axe head is symbolic in our lives as believers. And so we want to be able to track along with what he's doing here. Now let me get into the story, but let me remind you that Elisha was mentored by Elijah. You know, if you want, I put the emphasis on Jah, it's Elijah. We want to make sure that Elijah is not Elisha in your brain, okay? Keep them separate. Make sure that you learn about him. If you've never learned about Elijah, you need to learn about him as well, because he was an amazing man of God too. But here's what we find out about Elisha, that he had learned so much that other guys had come to him. You know, who do you want to teach you how to throw a football? If you want to learn how to throw a football, who do you want to teach you? A really good quarterback, right? You want like, you know, Namath, or you want, you know, Elway or Tony Romo, I got to pause to get booze even now. What's up with y'all? So come on, you got to help me out a little bit, because I don't have any way to pick on Gabe today, so I don't have any funny stuff. So you got to laugh at what I give you, okay? So help me out a little bit here today. So anyway, Elisha was the man. He was the Elway. He was the Romo. He was the guy who knew how to really speak for God. And so guys were coming to him, and they wanted to learn how to do this. And so here's where we pick it up in 2 Kings chapter 6, beginning in verse 1, that so many guys have come that now they don't have a place to meet. So they're going to have to build a new place. So here's what the scripture says. The company of the prophet said to Elisha, "Look, the place where we meet with you is too small for us. Let us go to the Jordan, where each of us can get a pole, and let us build a place there for us to meet." And he said, "Go." Then one of them said, "Won't you please come with your servants?" "I will," Elisha replied, and he went with them. They went to the Jordan and began to cut down trees. As one of them was cutting down a tree, the iron axe head fell into the water. "Oh no, my lord," he cried out, "it was borrowed." The man of God asked, "Well, where did it fall?" When he showed him the place, Elisha cut a stick, threw it in there, and made the iron float. "Lift it out," he said. Then the man reached out his hand and took it. Now, I don't know if you've ever had that experience before, but I remember one time my dad, he burns wood to heat his house, and we've done that for years. Even when I was a kid, we've done that and got the big whole hot water tank kind of thing, and it's all this simple thing that does, I don't know, all kinds of stuff. Heats our water, heats the house, all kinds of stuff. But we've just always cut wood and split wood. And I remember being a kid one time, and I was out there splitting wood with a big maul. You know, and I, when I was, you know, 16, 17, 18, you know how you think you're just a man and you can do it all. So I'm out there busting the wood with this maul. We don't need no, machine to do it. You got a machine, And so I'm out there doing it. Well, one time I go and I rear that thing back to let it fly. And guess what? It flew. That's right. When I took it back, that maul head kept on getting it that direction. And I was just lucky that there was nobody out there with me. One, so that I wasn't embarrassed. And two, that I didn't take somebody out. Now, please don't do this. But if you Google axe accidents, it's bad, y'all. I thought I was going to get like maybe kind of a cute little picture that would be funny that I could make a joke out of. Oh, my goodness. Don't do it. I mean, really. They will show you some axe accidents, okay? So just don't do it, kids. I'm serious. It's really bad. But axes are like, they're scary things. But this guy rears it back, and the axe head goes flying back into the river. Not only can he not go pick, it's not like it's right on the ground there. It's not stuck in somebody's foot. It's that's kind of gross, isn't it? But it's in the water. And so what are they going to do? I mean, we're talking about some poor college kid, right? He's there learning from Elisha. He's like in seminary. He's he don't have a job. He don't have any money. He's just there trying to learn how to speak for God, to be a prophet. I guess you could call him a non-profit prophet because he ain't got no money. Come on, y'all. That's about as good as it's going to get today. I'm just telling you. It's going to be bad. So this guy's got no money. And now he's borrowed an axe, and he's lost the axe head. And he's got no way to pay it back. Iron was a valuable thing in this time. If you had something made of iron, it was worth something. And here's this kid who's now lost somebody else's valuable axe head. And so he's kind of sweating it out. Because what's he going to do? He's lost something that's important. He's lost something that means something. And what we need to understand is that though this thing may seem simple, and it may not be him, Elisha, cleaning out the water for the community, he may not be, doing these great things, but what he is about to do is prove that God cares about the little details in our lives. We may think the axe head is no big deal. Just go get another one. But listen, to this kid, it was something important. And for God, understanding who this is and the opportunity that he has to help somebody and to show himself faithful shows that this is a big deal and that God is concerned about those kind of things in our lives. If you've got something going on in your life and you say, you know what, God really, he don't have time for that. He doesn't care about that in my life. Let me tell you that he cares about you. He cares about you completely. He doesn't just care about bits and pieces of you. He cares about you. When you are missing something, whether it's a relationship, whether it's finances, whether it's love, whether it's something that will help you be more of who he wants you to be, listen, he cares about you. We need to hear that very loud and clear out of this message, that even the axe head that fell into the water was a big deal and was important. And so here's one of the points that I want us to understand today is God knows how to help you find what you didn't mean to lose. God knows how to help you find what you didn't mean to lose. This kid didn't mean to lose the axe head. He didn't mean for it to come off and go into the water. He didn't mean for this to create an issue. He wasn't trying to be bad. He was actually trying to do something really good. But it just didn't work out the way he thought. I don't know about you, but I identify with that. Sometimes we have really good intentions. We want to do good things, and we want to see great things happen around us. But sometimes things just don't go the way we want them to. And that's where this kid finds himself, this prophet trying to come alongside of Elisha and be who God wanted him to be. Maybe for you, you've lost something spiritual in nature. You need to be reminded that we serve a God who is all about restoration. He's about helping us find stuff that we've lost. He's about helping us spiritually find the place that he wants us to be. And we can't take that for granted. It's a big deal that he cares about that. For those of you that are Christians and just say, you know what, Ron, I got to be honest with you today. I've lost my spiritual edge. I've lost the desire to just really to give myself completely to God. I've lost my desire to just fully involve myself in what it is that God's created me to do. I've lost the desire to read my Bible. I've lost the desire to pray and ask God to do things in my life. I've lost the desire to give and be generous. I've lost the desire to be involved in God's work. Well, let me just tell you that you're not alone. If you're sitting in here thinking, man, I must be the most unspiritual person in the room, well, let me just tell you that if you have accepted Christ as your Savior, listen, that's the most important thing that we can do. If you're here and you've never done that, then listen, I got to tell you, that's the most important thing that you can do. That's the piece that we need to understand. And for those of us that are sitting here thinking, you know, I was a time where I was on fire for God. There was a time where I had this desire to be all that he wanted me to be, but now, I can kind of take it or leave it. I want to tell you that today, God is about restoring what we've lost, helping us find it. Maybe you realize that there was a time where you had committed Christians all around you, that your friends, you know, there were people that cared about you, that prayed for you and encouraged you and lifted you up, that maybe, you know, they're not around anymore like they used to be. Maybe that's your fault. Maybe that's their choice, whatever the reason, that all of a sudden now you realize you don't have those people around you encouraging you, and it's a lot easier to not make the same choices that God would want you to make. That you found yourself, you've lost your edge because you've changed who influences your life. Maybe it's that you served in church and you had this thrill of being used by God, making a difference, using the gifts and the talents that God's given you to enrich the church, to help more people be able to see God for who he is. But now you got busy and you stopped serving, and now all of a sudden you haven't been able to find your way back in there. Let me tell you that you can certainly do that. But you've lost your edge because you just decided that you just didn't have time to do what God wanted you to do. Maybe you had a passion for prayer, that you would get up early and you would pray for long periods of time. You would pray for people around you, for those that were hurting and those that were needing something, and that was your thing. You were in there praying. But now you find yourself barely able to pray over meals, barely able to pray for the big things. You know, the only time you really ever pray is when you ask God to fix your mess. And so now you don't even have the energy to pray for good things. You don't even have time to pray for just being thankful for what he's done. You've lost your edge because now you've allowed prayer to drift to the back. Maybe you loved sharing who Jesus was in your life and at that point and how he was doing great things, but now you feel like there's just nothing there and you don't feel like you should share. Let me tell you that you can begin to feel that same feeling, because God is a God of restoration, that he restores and helps us find the things that we lose. Some of you have allowed your values to erode away, whether that's allowing people to be in your life that don't need to be in your life, whether that's just beginning to allow one thing to become two things, to become three things. You know, man, I'll go see that movie, and that movie, you know, I'll be okay. It's just got a little bit of that in it, you know, whatever. And the next thing you know, now you're to the next movie that's got a lot of that in it. Maybe it was that, you know, you just let yourself say that one cuss word, you know, and now, you know, the whole, your every sentence is full of them. Is there something really wrong with cussing? Is cussing like the big sin? The Bible says they all are. So they're all equal. But it says not to let anything come out of our mouths that's not useful for building up. So when we allow things to come into our vocabulary like that, we begin to erode away what people see of us and think of us, because some people see them as detrimental, right? They see cuss words as cuss words. That's why we call them cuss words, because they're cussing, all right? Let me just tell you, when Pastor Ron bangs his finger with a hammer. What do you think comes out of Pastor Ron's mouth? That's what comes out of his mouth. What does he say in his head? Yeah, some of that old stuff that I used to say when I out loud when I bang my thumb. So listen, thoughts are there and things are there, but it's what we allow to come out, what we allow our values to be eroded away for. Because before long, we let one word come out, two words. Now the words become other things. And before long, our values have driven down so that it's not about cussing. Listen, I don't have a problem with somebody saying on me cussing. You know, as long as you don't use God's name in vain, I'm not going to call you out on it. Unless I know you're really, really good, and then I probably am. And sometimes I end up at the hospital with y'all, and y'all do say some stuff when you're on medication. I'm just telling you. You know, I ain't calling no names in here, but I've been around some of you. I know what you say when you're hurting. So it just happens, right? But the reality is that's not the issue. It's the heart where all of that stuff comes out of, where the lack of prayer, the lack of everything else comes out to now the way we talk and the way we treat each other becomes something that allows us not to be all that God wants us to be. We lose our spiritual edge the more we let slip into our lives. So don't walk out of here and say, man, that you can't even cuss at that church. You can cuss if you want. I'm just telling you, you got to fix that. You and God got to work that out. But here's the reality. We got to make sure that we're allowing ourselves to be all that God wants us to be. We got to keep our edge. And part of keeping our edge means that we've got to be sharp. It means we've got to be ready to understand that the world looks at us completely different. The moment we identify ourselves with Christ, the world begins to look at us different. And so we got to be willing to be part of that. That's part of the deal. And so we want to make sure that we're living our lives to point people to him, not away from him. It's easy to do, but we got to make sure that we keep ourselves sharp. So if we've lost our edge, how do we get it back? See, the reality of it all is that we have an enemy that has come to kill, steal, and destroy. And whether we let him in through our language, whether we let him through our actions or our lack thereof, he's come to make a mess. And we've got to make sure that our point and our blade is sharp so that we can make sure that he doesn't get himself in where he doesn't belong. Now here's the thing. I remember when I became a Christian at the age of 21. Now, some of you have been here for a while, you've heard part of my testimony, and you know, there was a big change. Because I went from living in an apartment that we nicknamed the Den of Sin, true story, all right? That's what we called it. And it was known by more than just me and my roommate as that, okay? That's what it was called. So I went from living in the Den of Sin to being the Jesus guy. I went from living in the Den of Sin to being the guy that now people knew that had a whole different vocabulary, had a whole different way of life, had a whole different outlook on life. There was a big change. I went from being in the Den of Sin to in church every time the doors were open. It was a big difference for me. And so there was this change that happened. And it was pretty much overnight. I went from wearing the Gold's Gym t-shirts, you know, because I worked in gyms and it was all about, you know, working out, all that stuff. So I went from wearing Gold's Gym to God's Gym, you know. So there was a whole change in my apparel, everything. This whole change happened. I went from dropping F-bombs, that's being honest. I went from dropping F-bombs to J-bombs. Yeah, I went talking, Jesus became part of my vocabulary. And not in the way that I had used it in previous, okay? It was a good way. And so Jesus was part of my vocabulary. And so there was this huge change because I'd been transformed. There was a sharpening that had happened in my life. And that's what accepting Christ is all about. It's not being the dull, unusable blade anymore, but it's about being sharpened into an instrument that God can use to change people's lives. Now, I'm not special in that. That's what he does in our lives. He changes us. The moment we accept him, we're changed. And so he did that in my life. And so I became this new creation. and went from the dull blade to the sharp blade. One day, you know, I realized that though that my blade had become dull again. You see, you know, if you ever take an axe and it's really sharp and you begin to hit things with it that aren't wood, that it's not meant to use with, guess what happens to your blade? It gets dull. If you keep driving it into the ground, that blade will go from sharp to dull. And I allow things into my life that began to not be what sharpened me, but what dulled me. It happens to all of us. If you think that it can't happen in your life as a super Christian, let me just tell you, there are times where things will come in and it will happen. We know that the blade gets dull. Then I became, you know, then I realized that had happened. I got myself back. I got sharp again, and God was doing good stuff. You know, and then, you know, that happened a couple of times throughout my time as being a Christian. We know, and we all know, if you've been a Christian at all, you know there are hot and cold times. It just happens. But then there was a time where I became a pastor, right? God called me into ministry, and I thought, man, my blade is going to stay sharp now. Boy, you know, I'm going to be able to walk in, and my Bible's just going to open itself up for me now because I'm just that. I'm the sharp blade. I can open it up from over here. You know, and then, you know, I'm gonna walk on air because now, you know, surely I'm going to walk close enough with God that I'm just going to be it, you know, and kind of float into the room and do my thing and float back out of the room and God, you know, just super, super pastor, right? But guess what happens? Guess what happens to pastors too? Our blades get dull just like everybody else's. There are times where we allow things to get in place, and what happens is that sometimes we go from being, you know, full-time Christian, part-time pastor, to all of a sudden we become full-time pastor and part-time follower of Jesus. You know what it's like. We go from being full-time parent, you know, now to full-time parent and part-time follower of Jesus. You know, we were full-time follower, had a couple kids, and now all of a sudden the kids are way more important than our relationship with God. It happens to all of us. You know, we go from being full-time follower of Jesus and part-time, you know, worker, to now we're full-time worker and part-time follower. That there's this shift that happens where we go from being able to be committed to Jesus and who he is and who he wants to be in our lives and how he wants to use us and mold us and make us into the person that he created us to be, to all of a sudden now everything else is more important. You know what often we become? We become full-time relationship specialist and part-time follower of Jesus. We allow relationships to become where we put our emphasis rather than on the one who put us in that relationship. Now, that happens in marriage, happens in friendships, it happens in work relationships, it happens in all kinds of relationships. We allow those things to become way more important. And if we put the effort into our relationship with God that we put into our relationship with Jesus, or our relationship with God into what we put into our relationship with work, man, wouldn't things be so much different in our lives? If we prayed as much as we thought about work, if we read our Bibles as much as we, you know, work on some other things, wouldn't it be amazing what God could do in our lives? But what happens is those things take place and our edge gets lost. So how do we get it back? How do we do that? Well, let me tell you a couple of things here in the remainder of our time that helps us be able to get that back. Now, for some of us in the room, again, if you haven't begun a relationship with Christ, this may seem a little bit for somebody else or whatever, but hang with me for a second and let me be able to bring this back around for you. But here's the deal. If you've lost your spiritual edge, here's how you get it back. The first thing you need to do is this, that we need to be honest about where we lost it. Just be honest about where you lost it. Be honest where the change took place. In verse 6, the man of God, Elisha, he asked, where did it fall? See, the truth was the axe head wasn't gone. It didn't magically just poof, disappear. It was in the water. But the thing of it is it wasn't gone. It was right where it landed, right where the guy threw it off of the axe handle. For you and for me, where we lose our spiritual edge, guess what? We can go right back there and find it. Whatever it was that took us away, we can go right back there and be able to find it. Where did you lose your spiritual edge? Where is it that it went? I mean, we're all smart people. I apologize for calling you idiots while I go. You know, I was calling me one, just so we clear that up. Don't send me any emails. But the reality is that we're all smart people, and we know where we lost our edge. We know the things that come into our lives that take us away from being who God wants us to be. We know exactly where it is. You know, I know we can debate a lot of things, but we know that there are things that take us away from being who Christ wants us to be. Maybe it's that we got to hang around the wrong friends. I mean, teenagers, you got to know that there are friends that are going to come that are going to take you places that you don't need to go. Does that mean you don't like them and you don't speak to them and you don't acknowledge them? No. Even more so, you need to acknowledge them. You need to be friends with them. You need to love them and you need to care about them. But you can't let them pull you and put you places that you don't need to go. Maybe you start dating the wrong person. Let me just tell you, there is nothing more that will pull you away than getting into a relationship with the wrong person. You drop the discipline. That means that you stop doing whatever you know you're supposed to do. You know, I'll just tell you that if I didn't have a reading plan that popped up in my email and on my phone every day, I'll just be honest, there'd be days where I didn't read any scripture because I'd be so busy. I know that. I'm saying that as your pastor, so I get it. Why a lot of us don't read our Bibles even a little bit. But I'm telling you, there are ways that we can help be able to get ourselves back there. But we need to go find where it is that we lost it. Go find out where you were and get yourself back there. Find out where it was. Maybe you should give. And now you kind of stopped. Things got a little crazy. You stopped giving and now you don't give anymore. Maybe you used to worship and really have this relationship where you could come in and you could just connect with God and really worship him as you sang and as you prayed. But now that's not there. Go back to where you lost that. Maybe you were in a life group and you stopped going because you got busy. Let me just tell you, next week we're going to launch life groups and we're going to begin those and you're going to be able to sign up and be able to plug yourself into a group of people that care about you, love you, want to just spend time with you and want to help you grow, and they'll be there when things do get dull to help you be part of sharpening you back up. And so we need to be able to get back there. If that's where you lost it, then get in it. Sign yourself back up. Maybe you got hurt by somebody in church. Let me just tell you, if we were to survey the room, I think most of us in the room would say that we probably, if we've been in church at all, we probably have been hurt by somebody in church. Might have been by a pastor, might have been by another Christian, might have been by somebody else, and so, you know, you stop going. You got unplugged and you feel like you lost your spiritual edge because of that. Let me just tell you that's just going to happen. If you're perfect in the room, please stand up. Yeah. There's only one perfect person, and he died on a cross 2,000 years ago to pay for the rest of us that are imperfect. And so we're going to make mistakes. Man, there are going to be times where I might say something to you that comes across in a tone that I don't mean it, but when you hear it, it just sets you off and you don't want anything else to do with me. Listen, I'll just apologize now. I would never do that on purpose. Maybe I forget to call you back or whatever. I promise that I care, that I love you, all right? And just like you care and love me, I hope, then we just got to understand that that's how it goes sometimes. Listen, whoever hurt you in church, whether you think it was intentional or not, listen, you got to let that stuff go. We got to move on. And so maybe that was what dulled your edge before. Go back there. Maybe you need to go to that person that hurt you and just tell them that you forgive them. You know what? You talk about sharpening your blade. for you to have the guts to go tell somebody else and just and truly forgive them, not despite them, forgive them, but to really forgive them. You talk about God being able to use that incredibly in your life, that there's an amazing amount of healing and just sharpening that comes from being able to say, you're sorry. You need to go back there, find out where it was. For me as a pastor, I knew where it was. You know, when I realized it for the first time as a pastor that my edge was just so dull, you couldn't cut hot butter with it. And you know where it was when I realized it? I was praying. I was in the middle of a prayer when I realized that I was talking to me and to the people in the room and was not talking to God. That I was more worried about what the people were hearing than what God was hearing. Anybody identify with that? Because I think lots of times we pray for everybody else to hear us, and we're not really trying to communicate with Him. And so when God told me and just said, dude, you got to fix this, then I got busy, and I looked at where I had lost it. I lost it in the fact that I became so busy being Pastor Ron that I wasn't Jesus follower Ron. That I didn't have a relationship with Him anymore. I had better relationships with you guys than I had with the one I was that had put me here to be in relationship with you. So listen, you got to think about that. Where is it that you've lost your edge? Go back there. Here, that's the first. The second thing is this. With God's help, take back what you lost. With God's help, take back what you lost. God specializes in helping you find what you didn't mean to lose, right? Here's what the scripture says. When he showed him the place, Elisha cut a stick and threw it in there and made the iron float. Lift it out, he said. Then the man reached out his hand and took it. Remember a couple weeks ago we talked about digging ditches? But you gotta, if you wanna believe that God's gonna send the water, that sometimes he wants us to dig the ditch so the water can go where it's supposed to go, that we need to prepare. There's some work we need to do for God's miracle to come our way. You know, last week we talked about the jars and how, you know, God multiplied the oil, but she had to go and find all the jars to put it in. Listen, for you and I, we've got to be willing to reach out and take the edge back. God's going to raise it up for us, and we've got to be willing to reach out and take it back. We got to, that means there's something on us. I always have my little Facebook posts and rants and stuff like that. But listen, let me just tell you, I see people post stuff and it talks about being alone and it talks about people not being there for them and it talks about people abandoning them and everything else. And listen, people are going to abandon us. Newsflash, it's going to happen. It's happened since you know, there was people. It's going to happen. But the reality is that we have to be willing to not get focused on that, but to get focused on the one who makes the difference. We got to be focused on God because He's the one who brings it back. He's the one that makes it float, but we've got to be willing to reach out and take it. So when people harm us, listen, we can't sit back and wait for stuff to happen. We can't sit back and wait for people to come and pursue us and all that. We got to be willing to take action when it comes to our own spiritual lives and reach out and just take the edge of that axe head back. We got to be willing to be involved in it. It's a relationship because it involves both of us. It involves us and God. We got parts that we've got to play. He's going to bring it into reach. God's going to raise it up. He's going to put the edge out there for us, but we got to be willing to take it. That means we got to be willing to take some steps. We are going to have to open our Bibles back up. We are going to have to bow our heads and pray. We are going to have to be willing to go to people and make amends. We are going to have to move on. There's things that we have to do to allow this to happen. Here's the reality that we need to understand about this. You do what you can do, and trust God to do what you cannot do. You do what you can do, and then you trust God to do whatever you cannot do. He wants us to do our piece. He wants us to do our part. You can't just go around and wait for it to happen. You got to do what you can do. Can you make an axe head float? Anybody in here, can you? No. But if one's floating, you could pick it up out of the water, couldn't you? Yeah. We can't do it on our own. But we can do it when he makes the move. Do what we can do and let him do the rest. Can you create spiritual passion and all of this? No, you can't create it. But you can begin a relationship with the one who can. And you can renew your relationship. You can make another commitment to him so that he can allow you to do it. Can you create faith? You can't create it, because here's what faith comes from. Faith comes from hearing the word of God. It comes from hearing it. And so you got to be able to hear it. That means get in church. Like, Ron, we are in church. I get that. But some of you are here for the first time. Some of you here maybe for the first time in a long time. Maybe there's even some people here that are in church for the first time. We say, oh, that never happens. Oh, yeah, it does. Happens quite often. But some of us are here, and we are here today, and we'll make another appearance for October. And maybe, we might get back here once or twice before Christmas, But the reality is we need to be involved. We need to be plugged in. We need to have, church is not just, this thing that we do. It should be something that we are. Church shouldn't be just something that we check off our list. It should be something that we're involved in. A place where we serve, a place where we learn and give and all of that together should be there for us. We know that faith comes from hearing the word of God. Maybe we don't think that God hears our prayers. Listen, he doesn't hear prayers that aren't prayed. We need to bow our heads and pray and begin to ask him to reveal himself to us. Maybe we've lost the edge. We need to pray and ask him to reveal the edge like it once was. For me, that's where I had to go back was, God, listen, I know I'm not where I'm supposed to be. You take me back to where you want me to be, and let's go on beyond that. But I had to open up my Bible. I had to bow my head. I had to take those steps. And so it works the same for all of us. I love what Revelations 2, verses 4 and 5 says. Jesus is talking. He says, yet I hold this against you. You have forsaken the love you had at first. You've totally forgotten your first love. Consider how far you have fallen. All right? So he says, listen, you've lost your first love. You are way away from where you were in the beginning. Now, you're like, Ron, you love that? No, I love the second part because I know what it's like to be far from where I was. But here's what he says: repent and do the things you did at first. If you do not repent, I will come to you and remove your lampstand from its place. Consider how far you've come. Repent and do the things that you did in the beginning. I love it because he tells me how simple it is for me to have that relationship back with him. Some of us are drowning in this place that we've gotten ourselves into, and let me just tell you how simple it is to get yourself back there. Repent, which means change your mind, turn and go a different direction. Quit thinking that that's the way that works and know that God's got a way that works. Line yourself up with him and then allow him to move you and put you where he wants you to be. Do what you did at first. What did you do at first? You talked to him. You were excited about him. You worshiped him because of the change he had made in your life. Go back to those things and allow him to work in you. Take back what you've lost with God's help. Let him do what needs to be done. Deuteronomy 30, verses 3 through 5 say, then the Lord your God, listen to this, then the Lord your God will restore your fortunes. He will have mercy on you and gather you back from all the nations where he has scattered you. He's talking to to the Israelites here. He's saying you've been scattered around, but listen, he's going to pull you back. Even though you are banished to the ends of the earth, the Lord your God will gather you from there and bring you back again. The Lord your God will return to you the land that belonged to your ancestors, and you will possess that land again. Then he will make you even more prosperous and numerous than your ancestors. Why? Why would he do that? Because he specializes in helping people find the things they've lost. You see, they could be scattered to the ends of the earth, and he could bring them back again. I just got to tell you this morning that if you feel like you've lost your spiritual edge, and that you, or maybe today you feel like you've never had one, and you are so far from God that there's no way he could do anything for you, let me just tell you, if he can draw them back from the ends of the earth, he can pull you back to where he wants you to be. This morning, you need to understand that the love that God has for you and me was greater than anything else, that he would allow his own son to die on a cross, a painful, disturbing death on a cross, to pay the price for my sin and for your sin, so that you and I could be pulled back from condemnation and hell for the rest of eternity, to be able to then be restored into a relationship with him, to allow us to spend forever in his presence. I think if he can do that, then he can certainly give us an edge back on our spiritual life. This morning, if you've never accepted him as your Savior, let me just tell you that he loves you that much. If you've never begun that relationship with him, he wants that with you. This morning, he wants you to understand how much he loves you and what he's done for you, that he would give his very best so that you could be restored into the relationship with him that you were meant to have all along, that you acknowledge that Jesus is God's son, that he died on a cross paying the price for your sin, that he was buried and on the third day raised again, so that the price is paid for your sin on the cross, and because of his resurrection, now you can be forgiven for all eternity, that you can spend that in his presence. Listen, if that doesn't sharpen your blade, if that doesn't excite you, if that doesn't set your wood on fire, listen, your wood's wet, y'all. The reality is that God loves us so much that he wants us to have that relationship with us, to go to the most extreme measure to make it possible. And today, you and I get to have the opportunity to accept it and be changed by it. If you've lost your spiritual edge, listen, go back to where you lost it this morning, not tomorrow, not next week, today. Go back to where you lost it, and with his help, take back what you lost. This morning, if you've never found it, listen, you've been lost forever. Now come back so that you can be found forever. Come to him. God, this morning we ask that you would move freely in this place. God, I know so often it's easy for us to sit in a chair and allow you to move, that we and to just sit and not do anything with what you're wanting to do in our lives. God, that there are times where we sit and we just allow you to show us what it is that we've been looking for. But God, we often don't take the chance to grab it and go with it. So God, this morning I pray with all I have that in this room there are people that I know don't have a relationship with you, that have never prayed that prayer to accept it, that never made a decision to just know that's who Jesus is and that's what he's done for them. So God, I pray in these moments as the band plays that they would have freedom to choose to ask for forgiveness, to be able to ask you to be their Savior, to be their Lord. God, in these moments, I pray for those that are in the room that have accepted you before but have found themselves dull and far from feeling like they felt once before in their relationship with you. God, I pray in these moments that there would be people bowed on knees at the front, just asking you to be fresh and new in their life. God, for those that maybe think they've got it all together, God, I just pray right now that they would be willing to come and pray for the rest of us that don't. God, that we would be together, unified, in a direction for you. that we'd be willing to pray for each other and to pray for those around us, to pray for our community, to be able to hear a message that can change lives for all eternity. God, will you forgive us as a church for sitting back and just being comfortable with just having church on Sunday? God, may you help us to have church on Monday through Sunday. May we have it every day. God, may we have a love and a care about our community that drives us beyond just sitting still, that just drives us beyond doing the minimum, but God makes us want to see people truly change, that wants us to have that for our neighbors. God, I don't know where everyone in the room stands, but God, I know where I stand. So God, help me to be sharper. Help me be more valuable to the kingdom, not because of who I am, but because of who you are. I pray that for every person in this room. In Jesus' name.